Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
I am honored to be part of the ministry that I'm in. I have no idea how long the Lord has us there. The Lord really has plans that we don't even understand yet, right? And often he moves us into places where we never expected, because I never expected to go from being pastoring a church like this to being a quote-unquote high-risk missionary in places where many people who have done the deal for our country with great precision and great forces and, you know, quick reactionary forces and things to be able to get out if things go wrong, who look at us and see what we've done over the past 10 years with All Things Possible and say, you guys have no QRF. Yeah, you have no exit plan. You have, yeah, it's like, no, we're not the military. We are just doing our best to follow the Lord, and he has always blessed us to get us out of some of the hairiest situations we've ever been in. But it's something that the Lord will do to go to the extent of leaving the 99 and going after the one. And that's where I believe this morning's spiritual warfare message is going to help us all, is to understand that God wants to meet each and every one of you. And maybe you're here representing some children or a brother or a sister or just a friend who you're going to be able to go back and say, hey, remember that spiritual warfare movie I told you they showed at church? Well, one of the guys was on that was there, was talking, and they're going to be training us in how to be able to help people get set free in a way that they've never been set free before, because there is freedom in Christ. And this is what I also want to make sure very clear, that we understand, though the road may be hard ahead in walking with Christ, he always has plans in helping us to see how it's a process of growth in our relationship with him, but also in the plan that he's using us, not just for us. And this is the crazy thing about it. It's just like a DNA helix. And forgive me, I read way too much and things, but it's just this beautiful spiral of connection that makes up the body. And each and every one of us has a different code that we're part of in that process for the body. And over the course of time, sometimes things change as far as our position and what we do. And so be encouraged this morning. The word of the Lord is pure, it's true, and it stands fast for all of time. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. I, Paul, myself entreat you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I who am humble, who face to face with you. Oh, hold on one second. I have a feeling this is this kind of church. Would you stand up with me, please, as we read God's word? And this may seem old-fashioned, but boy, it's a good one. Father, thank you for your word, that it's living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and that it never returns void. It always accomplishes what you set it forth to do. And so we simply, in faith this morning, as this sweet, dear, local congregation family of yours has exhibited faith in following your spirit this morning, we simply want to honor you as we read your word, and then as we dive into it as well, in Jesus' name. Chapter 10, verse 1, 2 Corinthians. I, Paul, myself entreat you by the meekness and goodness of Christ, I who am humble when face to face with you, but bold toward you when I am away. I beg of you that when I am present, I may not have to show boldness with such confidence as I count on showing against some who suspect us of walking according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. Thank you for your word, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. It's also a good technique I've learned to help people from not falling asleep during this service. But as a pastor, I used to share with my people, if you're going to fall asleep anywhere, why not in the lap of the Lord? I would never put anybody to quote-unquote shame for falling asleep during a church service. The reason being, I have no idea what you're going through. Many of you who are mothers who are up most of the night, many of you are young fathers who are up most of the night loving on your wife, trying to let her get some sleep. There's something about a blessed rest in Him, right? And even on, I don't know about you, but for some reason, Sunday afternoons always feels like it's sanctified nap time. And I want people to understand that the God who loves us, who created everything, you like that one too? You like that sanctified nap one? Yeah. We'll see that when it's this afternoon and you're saying, no nap, no nap. Yeah. But maybe this will be a turning point for the young man. That's a good one. But yeah, there's something about just being able to rest in the Lord and understand that the God of the universe who created and made everything in 6 days, who made it so that the seventh day would be a day of rest, not that He needed one, but it was for us to really understand that concept of rest and resting in Him, but also resting in Him while we're literally at work going about everything that He's given for us to do. Because He's got work for each and every one of us to do. Paul, when he addresses the church here at Corinth, I don't know, Corinth gets a bad rap in one sense because of what we read in 1 Corinthians, and we saw that it's a church that had a lot of zeal, had a lot of gifts, had a lot of things going for it, but also had a lot of things way wrong, right? If you know anything about Corinth, literally the term to Corinthianize back in the day simply meant you're having sexual, illegal functions. Right? That's what it literally meant. Corinth was known for that. I don't know if some of you acknowledged the fact that you were aware of the Princess Bride earlier, but do you remember this guy, Ricardo Montalban? Right? For many of you, it would have been from Fantasy Island. He was the boss, right? But he used to do this ad, and I have no idea what the ad was for, but it was for fine Corinthian leather. You remember that one? I have no idea what that ad was for, but his rolling, you know, Spanish-influenced voice saying, you know, fine Corinthian leather was always there in that ad, and I always, that stuck with me as a child. And then when I came to know the Lord early, things, every time I see about the church at Corinth, it wasn't like fine Corinthian leather, it was like bad Corinthian morals. This is who Paul is addressing here, and I want to make sure we understand this, that even though the church at Corinth had a lot of bad aspects to it that were revealed, they're no worse than today's church. The reality of it is that we are all sinners, saved by grace. God does not want us to continue to dwell in sin once we come to Him, but the reality is that there is a struggle between our flesh and the spirit to follow what the Lord wants us to do. And what Paul addresses here in chapter 10 in these first 6 verses is the understanding of the local church concerning spiritual warfare. In verse 3, we saw this. For though we walk in the flesh, what's he talking about there? He's not saying that they are fleshly in the sense of we who are Christians who are still on the planet just do whatever we want to do, even though some do. That's not what he's saying. He's saying the reality is that we, in our current state as spirit, soul, and body, live in a physical world. Okay? Some would say we're living in a material world. Okay? But the reality of it is that this material isn't reality. You can knock your head on it and hurt, and that gives you a really bad headache. But this really is just energy. And if we literally took out and condensed this down just to the matter that exists in this pulpit, you wouldn't even be able to see it. It's literally energy. What Paul's talking about here is the fact that, hey, beloved, as believers, we are currently in a material world because that's the way that God designed it. But we must remember also that this material world that God designed was initially meant to be for all eternity. Sometimes we lose sight, and I've read some guys that I really like, and I think they're really scholarly men, but sometimes they make these statements like, we have no idea what heaven's going to be like. I said, really? I don't think that's accurate biblically. Because if we simply go back to Genesis 1:1, how long did this that we see around us in its sin-influenced form over some thousands of years, how much does this resemble what originally was there when God created everything for Adam and Eve? It's pretty close, right? And that was supposed to be for all eternity. So I think there's more of an understanding that we actually have of heaven than some would encourage us to believe, because we've come to make everything of the physical world supposedly be equal to sin and bad. That's pagan thinking. That's not biblical thinking. Biblical thinking is that God looked at everything he made, and at the end of every day, what did he say? It's good! So trees and rivers and everything that we see, and even the entire process that he's given in our bodies to process food, is good in God's eyes. So we do understand, in essence, what heaven will be. What we don't understand, and it's hard for us to comprehend, is the fact that no sin. Zero sin. To where every single thought and every single action will be done unto the praise and the glory of Jesus Christ. That is incomprehensible for us at the moment. But I'm seeing a lot of people who are nearer their finish line than probably some of you, understanding that I'm about to experience that. I'm going to die or fly any day, right? It's the way it works. Going to die or going to fly. And so while Paul is telling this young church to understand, we walk in this world, we walk in the flesh, we're not waging war according to the flesh. Now, Paul's talking about waging war. Is he referring to like physical army type war? I'm the youngest of seven. I'm an oops child. Any other oops childs out there? There's almost 7 years between me and number six. Number six was born here at Fort Bragg. I was born in what is now a joint base in Columbus, Ohio. It was an army base back then, Fort Hays. He's not talking about that type of war, is he? No, he's talking about the war of faith, the war that we basically get involved in when we become a Christian. And this is where the church needs to be reminded of this. The church is a family, but it's a family with a mission in a war zone. And think of the Von Trapps, right? And think of, anybody name the movie for me, because it just fleeted from my head. The Sound of Music, right? You're a singing family in the middle of a war zone. You've got joy unspeakable because of the joy that God's given you as a family in Christ, but your family's in a war zone. For those of you who might be here who've actually lived in war zones and dealt with that, God bless you, because you have insight to what the church is called to be and what we've been called to be now for 2,000 years. That we are a joyful body of believers in the midst of a war zone, not waging war according to the flesh. Why? Verse 4, the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.